Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Sidework presents
Add-ons
with Brooke Van Poplin
and Andrea Wallace.
All right, guys, welcome back. It's that time. It's Monday. It's time for another episode of Sidework Presents. Is that how we're saying it, Brooke?
Yes, it seems very official. So let's go with it.
Sidework Presents Add-ons.
With your hosts, Brooke Van Poplin.
And Andrea Wallace.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi.
We've been having a lot of fun. I went back and gave a listen. Because it's short and sweet, doesn't mm-hmm. take. You don't seem like that big of an egomaniac when you listen to a 17-minute episode of yourself talking versus over an hour.
Yeah, but you're like, I sound so smart. Everything's going so quickly and well. It is a moment to be like, we're educated women. We know what we're talking about, and we're so happy to bring you guys these like little tidbits, little like juicy bites of information. You know, kind of like we're like the mistake plater fries you just shove into your fucking face for sustenance, like, you know, during a busy dinner shift. And it refills you and you feel like you can continue with your day. I feel good about that.
I love that. And I actually like went looking for some of my coasters. And we found out that a few of you out there are tagastologists because you sent us photos of the coasters you've collected from bars over the course of your drinking career. And we love it. Send us a little snapshot. I'll make a carousel and post them on the old IG. But today we're moving forward with yet another part of the bar and restaurant service industry experience. So here's the deal. Most people think that the final course of your dining experience is dessert or cognac. Andrea, you know, we don't mind a cup of black coffee or an espresso, whatever.
No, like a little cream. Yeah, maybe I'll have an old fashioned and an espresso and a dessert. Maybe I'll just have all the things I want at the end.
So so we mistake that for the final course. But friends, the check is your final course. And while the taste can sometimes, be a little bitter if you've overspent, it is a huge component of service in how it's presented, how it's executed. And even better, you could walk away after you pay the bill with a tiny, delicious little chocolate, candy, cookie, or a biscuit, just as like a parting good core memory and memento. But today we are talking all about presenting the check.
Oh, God, that's a lot. It's heavy. But we're going to condense it into a little, a final act, if you will.
A final act, yes. This is the cliff notes of the whole, history of how we came to normalize presenting the check. And it does actually have some weird twists and turns along the way. Thanks to Atlas Obscura, Thrillist, and Bon Appetit for some of my history and research that I did. But Andrea, what are terms for the itemized list of everything you consumed while out at the restaurant?
The bill, mm-hmm. the tab, the damage, check please.
Yes.
You guys can't see it, but I'm motioning the check. I'm trying to motion down my, I'm writing in the air. All of that. We met in an improv class, Brooke and I, and right now it's all come, it's all for this moment.
It's all really paying off those first three classes that I never paid for and kept hiding from the person who owned the theater every time I attended class. Anyways,
Yes, but those would be the terms.
Those would be the terms. You know, because here's the thing. We love to go out to eat, but you got to pay the piper. It's just, it's transactional, baby. You know, if you want dinner for free, go over to my mom's, all right? Okay. But so while diving into, though, the origin of getting the check, I mean, how can you not revisit some of the women, the history of women in the service industry and restaurants that we uncovered a couple years ago and continue to return to? But here's a very fun fact, y'all, because maybe some of you didn't hear that episode we did a ways back. So menus that were given to women did not have prices back in the dawn of dining out because it was presumed they had no fucking income of their own because it would be, it would be their husband's or their father's money.
Yeah, because there wasn't illegal for women to open bank accounts.
No, that too. Andrea always loves to remind us we were not allowed to have our own money. So therefore, the check would never be presented to a woman. Going back even further to what we uncovered, women weren't even permitted into restaurants that had men in them until roughly the 1920s and 1930s. This practice was continuing at a regular pace well through the 1950s and 60s until the women's liberation movement was at a full tilt. But the whole sector of upscale restaurants kept practicing their menus without price brand of sexism, basically until a lawsuit was slapped on them in 1980. So anyways, the origin of how the check affects women didn't even come into play till about 40 years ago. But that's all up to speed now. So presuming we are in a close to having some gender equality society, which is still a little bit missing the mark, but let's pretend for all intents and purposes that it's equal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Andrea, let's talk about the basics. If you are the server and working at the restaurant itself, what is the pacing or the etiquette for us delivering the bill?
Okay, so it turns out that we as servers are never, unless the person is a regular, you're never supposed to drop the check ever. Restaurants generally allot couples for an hour and a half to eat, and for people it's 2 hours. And of course, like, a lot of it depends on the pace of the meal and how quickly you get like your apps and your entrees and your desserts, and that can be on the restaurant as well. And you know, that should give enough time for that hour and a half or that 2 hours to go by for then you, unless, you know, like, you're being rushed by a manager to be like, get that fucking table up. The etiquette is to just kind of clear everything and then just kind of wait for them to be like, oh yeah, we're ready. Are you guys needing anything else? You're not going to like drop the check in the middle of dinner. That's basically the etiquette. Unless you're at a diner and it's breakfast, and we all know those situations are different, but this is like, you know, a classic, like, I'm at dinner having a nice meal experience.
These were our dinner plans. Now, as a server, like, yes, are there tactics? Do you linger? Do you leer? Do you mean mug? Do you passive aggressively take away the candles? Do you take away anything you can take off of the table to let them know they're camping, which we all know is the term.
And the restaurant closed an hour ago.
Right. So, and in certain situations, depending where you work and depending how long this has been going on and what kind of mood your manager or the owner is in, you may, in some circumstances, say, we're about to close. Do you mind if I settle with you? Sometimes I would try and get away with that bullshit under the radar, which is not cool and makes a manager very unhappy. But I was like being greedy and wanted a new table.
I know how it is.
But you got to make your money. You got to make your money.
It's
but
true. You do. You got to turn. You got to burn. And on that note, let's pause for a quick ad.
Okay. And always weird if the ad doesn't place, but it has been a ding, a ding, ding, ding. Okay. So we've discussed a little bit like what's on us as servers, bartenders. You know, I was thinking to another place where it's perfectly normal and don't be offended. Comedy clubs, they don't ask. You get that check dropped,
Yeah. Any type of like dinner theaters, any type of dinner show experience, there's like a total methodology to it. It's like, yes, absolutely.
And don't be shocked by that. They're usually like, they have to forcibly usher you out to get the next seating in for next show.
Yeah, so, absolutely. They drop the check. It's like they're not, you're not even going to get like booze past a certain time anyway, like how they stop selling alcohol during the seventh inning at a ball game. You know?
When you notice they have not come around to ask for another drink order, that's because you're done and they decided
you're done. It's time to go.
Okay. So, but then as a customer, are there tips? What is the expectation? I mean, we've done an entire episode about the check in the past, and mm-hmm. there's the universal language with someone who just does a squiggle, like a signature squiggle. In the air.
Yes.
You know what? That doesn't piss me off. I'm like, got it. The less I talk to you, the better. We're mind reading and doing sign language at this point.
Yeah. Well, especially now with like things like little touch screens that you have to mm-hmm. sign. Like my signature has like always been an issue. Like it's zero going to be perfect on a fucking touch screen. Although I do have people that do it. And I'm like, what? You're a fucking boss. Like, look at you. Would you practice this for hours on some sort of, anyway.
Ooh, well, here's a bit of like, I feel like this is a bit of a tease move, and be conscious of this as a diner. Yes, you know, when you're ready to go, ask for the check. It's all good. We're dying to give it to you. But then when people do the fake out move of they're like, we'll take the check, please. And then sit on it and like don't put a credit card in it, or they sign it and then they don't go. Like, don't be that person. Time it so that you're clearing out within about 5 minutes after you've, you know, cashed out, signed your thing, gathering yourself. Like, do not linger after you've faked us out and asked for the check.
And what is a check presenter anyway? You know, like, let's talk about like the fun, like tactical part of that. Like, it's a check, a guest book, a tip tray is another thing mm-hmm. that I was looking at when we were researching. That's old school, in my opinion. But there's small tools designed to transport checks and payment methods at the end of the meal. And sometimes they close, sometimes they stay open. But either way, it's just a little like, here's what we as a collective, as a group, as a restaurant have decided, like what a check presenter like is to us, like what kind of personality it is to us, because they're so different than they ever used to be.
Well, and it's funny too that it is a visual indication of like, this is our version of Simply Safe. Your card is secure if it's in this tiny vinyl book.
And you're walking to the POS system and it falls out and underneath a table of eight people, and you have to be like, hi, sorry, excuse me, and climb under said table to retrieve said card.
Can we talk about when the slot, the pocket for the card gets all blown out and loose?
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't hold.
I know. And you'd be like, oh man, I've got all the shitty check presenters tonight, mm-hmm. you know, or like, where are the good ones? And mm-hmm. when you get like a nice new tight,
virgin
check presenter.
Thank you, Discover Card, or whoever sent them your way.
So funny. But like, one of my and here's the thing too. They make the most satisfying snap. Like when you snap it closed, it's like I got that order in the can.
Totally.
I closed the tab. I'm annoyed at life, so I'm going to, you know, snap it, you know, open and close because the shift sucks. Like, it's a very fun, tactile, you can express yourself while slapping it down.
Do you present it upright?
Like, I know. Do you stand it or do you set it?
Upstand it? Do you lay it just kind of half on the table so it's not fully? Do you slide it across? What's your mm-hmm. methodology?
What is it? But like we were saying too, though, these are also doubling as your server books, where you've got your pad of paper in there, where you're holding the cash tips sometimes, you know, if you are working in a place that has an apron for you to, you know, store your server book. But what are we thinking of when we're thinking of the material of a classic check server?
Pleather.
Yeah. No, not high gloss vinyl with glitter. Mm-hmm. No. Plastic.
The old ones that had like the crappy like gold metal corners on them. Do you remember those fancy fuckers? That's kind of the standard, but you know, things are changing. And there's all sorts of new fun check presenters that restaurants are using, just like it all over. I see fun as fuck ones. But of course, Bon Appetit for the win again.
Oh, I know.
You know, we're seeing things all the way from like old, like super fun, like Indian cans of beans, sardine cans, which is one of my, I've actually stolen a couple Czech presenters that were sardine cans that now decorate my house.
Yeah, I will tell you about my Czech presenter in a moment.
Nesting dolls is kind of my favorite thing ever to have, you know.
I'm not going to lie. That's fun. That's fine. Oh, I like the nesting dolls.
80s mixtape boxes are some old passports, which I think is, they're just the books itself that you put the check in. I mean, I think I've seen books. I definitely have seen like old novels and stuff used. Marrow bones is a big one. You know, the just plates, honestly, Brooke, the restaurants that would most likely not, like a we want plate situation, would probably just use plates just for their check presenter.
Right. You're like, oh, now I get a fucking plate after this monstrosity of a meal served on shovels.
Or Gummy Boats. One of my favorite check presenters ever was at Hamburger Mary's. They present their checks in stilettos. So in shoes. And then I did put a photo of this on for you to see. So there's these block check presenters now.
Yeah.
They look like little office organizers. So just a wood block with like a slot for a pen and then a little slot for you to put a credit card and then one little bigger hole for you to fold the check and put it into. And I got to say, this is as sexy and stupid as fuck at the same time as I've ever seen. Because where the fuck are these going to go? Like, is there a whole... They're going to get thrown in the trash accidentally. People are going to steal these fuckers left and right.
They're walking out with one of these. They're walking out with one of these 100%. And the thing is, like, when we say sexy and stupid as fuck, like, it's going to be sexy the first time you as servers in a restaurant and a team see them. Mm-hmm. It's going to remain sexy for the people who dine there once a year and then become stupid as fuck for you who has to touch one of these multiple times a night, multiple times a week.
What kind of greasy sauces are going to get down in those holes? You know what I mean?
I there was a restaurant in Highland Park on York Boulevard called Recess. This is that space where nothing can survive more than a year. If you remember that area, but they had like your school pencil box was their check presenter. Bitch, that is now in my desk organizing a bunch of stuff because it was
love it.
A little wooden box. Like, I'm not gonna steal that. You know what I saw? Wait, hold on. These classic server books and check presenters now, the really upscale ones, have little LED lights in them.
Oh, what? That's weird. I just think it's like when like the check presenter is like the human and it's the little handheld machine, and then they just, your server just has to be like, okay, kind of like look to the right while you're like doing your business. You know what I mean?
It's
which I don't mind. It makes things, and that kind of brings us to our last point, which is like merchant copy versus customer copy, and does it really matter?
And the jury's in, and most people say no.
It doesn't matter. There's some differences where like the merchant copy can be like look like a bit more of a contract to be like, yes, here's what we've decided to do. Here's a little tip percentage tip or a calculator like that's ready to go for you. But that's pretty much it. It's more of just a convenience for the customer to have a customer copy. You're not going to have to chase down the fucking table and be like, you took the merchant copy. My kids are not going to eat now. You know, it's not, that's not how it's going to be. They have record of all this shit. Everything's fucking fine.
Oh, also, your phone spies on you. Everyone's keeping track of everything. Yeah. We are monitored and surveilled 24/7. But yes, listen. As long as a piece of paper with your credit card info, a tip, and your signature crosses through and gets over to the server, you're good.
You're good. Oh, man. What a that was a great insight. Look what we did. Look what we did in 18 minutes and some, you know, just all the information. Just getting out there, Brooke.
Just when I think it's, you know, maybe only going to be 8 minutes worth of stuff, we hit the 20-minute mark almost every time.
The 20-minute minute mark. You guys, if you have any topics you want to throw away for add-ons, or, you know, of course, if you are liking what you're hearing, new reviews are happily accepted. Just go over to Apple Podcasts, just smash the 5 stars, tell us what you're thinking. Oh, yeah, it'd be felt good.
And we'll be back next week because we love you.